Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Lickety split fashion.
That's what they call me on the beat. Lickety split.
Lickety split Weeder.
Dan Weeder.
We'll mention this mainly because Dan Weeder said we would mention this nugget.
Bears beat reporter for The Athletic.
I've been very amused this week that essentially the highest praise being paid to Caleb Williams is when we went back and watched the tape, he wasn't the biggest problem in a 31-point loss. Like, that's not why you draft a guy number one overall, to go back the next day and realize he wasn't the biggest problem in a blowout.
Co-host of the Take the North podcast.
Leading with the universe, the football gods, that the Bears, for once, just lose normally. Lose normally.
The merch should be available by Halloween. Just lose normally. You'll get your sweatshirts, your hoodies, everything else you need.
Dan Weiderer.
Is it a little awkward to see him this weekend?
No. With Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Our conversations with Dan Weiderer are brought to you by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS. And as a matter of fact, it's a Football Friday, which is brought to you by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. Football Friday is also presented by your local Ford dealers. Dan, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it. The injury report, how bad is it?
Well, I think it's as predictably bad as we thought it was going to be. On defense, you knew that Jalen Johnson, Kyler Gordon, and T.J. Edwards were going to be out this week. You add Jalen Jones to that mix. I think there was some encouraging news on Friday here with Grady Jarrett being a full participant in today's practice and not carrying an injury designation into Sunday, which means he's got a green light. DeAndre Swift, questionable, but has been able to go in practice each of the last 3 days in limited fashion. So you'd expect him to be able to get out there on Sunday and give things a whirl. And so now it is a real challenge for Dennis Allen to put that defense together in a way that can create a bounce back after that miserable performance at Ford Field last week.
How much have the injuries in the secondary and with TJ affected what Dennis Allen can do with his pass rush creativity?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Well, I mean, it's not necessarily the pass rush creativity, but you're not getting any late pressure because the ball's out and it's to someone open and they're really pretty widely open in a lot of cases here. So this whole rush and coverage marriage that has to be so harmonious for a defense like this to be good, has been a mess through the first 2 weeks and really the last five quarters specifically. And so you've got to just find answers, and you've got to be honest with yourself about the limitations that you have, both personnel wise. And then with up front, it's not personnel. It's just, you're not getting things done. And so you better find ways to create some of that consistent pressure, because this slate of quarterbacks that they're playing against, these veterans that are pretty smooth and calm back there, have an opportunity to pick you apart if you're not going to put any heat on them.
Yeah, what's the danger of having to maybe play mad scientist here? If that's where you end up, we're like, well, I've got to do stuff that's kind of outside of my purview. How does that end up looking against a guy like Dak?
Yeah, it's a tightrope when you're trying to figure out how to correct without overcorrecting, you know. And so a lot of that comes down to what you can do on the fly and really understanding who you are. It's why the practice week is so important to get a feel for what are we capable of this week against this specific opponent. And so we'll see what responses Dennis Allen has. Look, like, he's done it for a long time. He's done it at a high level for a long time. And so you would not expect last Sunday to become the norm. You would figure that it's an outlier of sorts, but until they show with several consecutive performances that it is something that is an outlier, we have to just kind of sit on the edge of our seats and go, please don't let this be the identity of the 2025 Bears defense.
What are some moves that you expect Dennis Allen might consider and we might even see? Does Shamar Turner dress this Sunday?
It'll be interesting to see what their rotation looks like up front, for sure, and what's there. I just think at times, defense that relies very heavily on man-to-man coverage might need to mix in some zone looks just to take some pressure off of Tyreek Stevenson and Deshaun Wright from having to cover really, really good players for an entire game and be asked to, you know, shut them down. I mean, CeeDee Lamb, George Pickens, and Jake Ferguson, I think, combined for like 23 catches and 256 yards last week, right? So you've got two proven receivers and a really good tight end that the quarterback's comfortable with, and you better find a way to limit each of them in their own respective ways. And it's really hard to ask your guys to, you know, keep up with CeeDee Lamb for an entire afternoon at Soldier Field. And so what answers you find to help with that, we'll see what Dennis brings to the table. One thing I do know for sure is next Thursday, we're going to ask Dennis Allen some questions about Sunday's game.
Yes, it's true. And if he is upset about that, then he needs to take it up with the scheduling of when coaches talk, because there are plenty of teams that allow their coordinators to talk sooner than Thursday. So perhaps he should take it up with the people who schedule it.
Yeah, no doubt. I'm not in this to aggravate anybody. You know, I don't think that they want to be aggravated. So let's just find a solution that works, you know, and we'll see where it goes. Like, but it does kind of reflect back on everything that's been happening here. The only way to get the temperature in this building to turn down a little bit is to have a win, you know, mm-hmm. and I know that there's 20 new players on the roster and the coaching staff wasn't here last year, but there is still last year vibes in this building. I promise you that. And it's not good, because you want to extinguish those as fast as possible. And the only way to do it is to get some positive energy in the building in the form of a victory. And Sunday's an opportunity to get one.
What did you make of Ben Johnson seemingly setting some standards for what practice should look like if you want to dress or get more opportunities?
Look, I like the way that Ben is a red ass at times, you know, and really has things that he wants his team to commit to. And he's unwavering with those things. And I think that's the way that you get out of mediocrity being acceptable for an organization like this that has really kind of embraced its mediocrity for as long as I've covered them, for sure, and longer beyond that. And so it takes a shakeup every once in a while. It takes somebody to say things out loud, both in front of the team and in front of the media, to kind of get people's attention. Now, I think over time, you've got to find the ways that you connect with this specific team and the ways that gets their attention the best. And I think Ben's probably still kind of working through that and figuring that out. But look, like, let's call it what it is. This team has been bad for a long time. It's trying to find its way out of the wilderness. And the only way to do so is to have higher standards and to stay committed to those standards.
Yeah, I mean, and get comfortable being uncomfortable is one of the first things he said. And he was directing that to the players. So I'm all good with a little honesty and a little disruption here at the beginning. What'd you make of Grady Jarrett's response to it? I mean, that's a veteran who has played well at times in his career, but he's not this year. Granted, a little unhealthy. And are there others who were, maybe miffed? If not at Ben, then just sort of at the idea of not practicing well.
Grady's one of the guys in this building that I don't really worry much about, because he's a guy that, he gets out of the car in the morning and the passion is pumping through him, right? And so he's going to bring it every day. And so I can see why a guy like that would be like, wait a second, are you talking about me? Or who are we talking about here? And trying to figure out what exactly is out there. He's a captain of this football team as well, though, Spiegs. And so those guys have to set the tone through example, through messaging, through whatever it takes to get things going in the right direction. I don't want the outside world to think that this has just been a disaster in terms of their practice habits and their commitment and all those things. But it's clearly not been good enough. And when you lay an egg like they laid an egg in Detroit, everybody's got to understand that you've got to elevate, and that this is a different animal of trying to resurrect this football team that's been through so much losing for so long that sometimes that doubt kind of becomes contagious and the snowball gets going in the wrong direction really quick.
With 0-2, there's going to be spotlight on a lot of things that have gone wrong for the Bears. But when I think about these three positions, left tackle, running back, edge, and I know that they went and paid Dio Dangbo to help them out on the edge, it really makes me think, Dan, that their offseason plan was really terrible, because you're sitting there still unsure about left tackle. Your running back room is ridiculously depleted. And then you're not getting a pass rush. And granted, you had given away a lot of money to guys that you thought you were going to get a pass rush from. It just seems like some of the stuff that's plagued them organizationally over the last couple of years are still rearing their ugly head now.
I've got issues with the way that this offensive line has been put together at the tackle positions a little bit, just because it hasn't been up to standard. And you hear from Ben Johnson today, asked about kind of the two-game performance evaluation of Braxton Jones, and he's still wavering and waffling. And, every week we're going to figure out if it's good enough to keep the job. And you don't want to do that every week. You want to have some certainty and some stability up there. Darnell Wright, another guy, Mark Grody and I just got off our latest episode of the Take the North podcast, listening to some comments that Dan Rashar made on Thursday about getting more consistency out of Darnell Wright. When he's good, he's good. And when he's bad, it's bad. And that he tends to drift both within practices and within games. And they're trying to correct that. And so those are two pieces up front on your offensive line that you've got to get stabilized really, really quickly if you want to become the type of offense that you want to become. I would have hoped that they would have used this offseason to address left tackle and running back a little bit better. They thought they had an answer in Ozzie Trapillo. They were wrong. They went out and spent some good money on Dio Dangbo. Haven't had the return on investment on that yet after two games. And so eventually it's not a product of, oh, they didn't invest enough. It's just they invested the wrong way. And that's where it gets really damning on the people making the personnel decisions and their ability to know what they need and how to get what they need.
You just said it, and Dan Weider is with us, Dan from The Athletic on Spiegel and Holmes here on The Score. They thought they had a left tackle possibility in Trapillo, and they were wrong. How much of that can we put on Poles as opposed to Ben? Not to make it binary necessarily, but did Poles win that conversation to say Ozzie's a left, and then they get to practice and the coaches are like, oh, by the way, no, he's not? Because the coaches were in charge clearly by the time they got to practice and camp. But, so the tendency then is to give it to Poles on draft day, and then the coaches are the ones who rise up and say, yeah, no.
Well, yeah, and they say no because they go through weeks of practice and they're like, oh, well, he's not playing with the level of confidence and certainty that we thought he'd have, and it doesn't look like we want it to look, and we can't just continue to try to force the issue there. And so, look, I would be stunned if Ben was heavily involved in setting that draft board for April. He got here in late January. He had to spend the first couple of weeks there putting a staff together. I don't know the first time that he started really, diving deep on prospects and in the tape of what they were looking for in April. And so, however that board was set, I'm very curious to know how they wound up where they wound up in certain instances. We've talked a lot about being one pick away from both Kelvin Banks and Trevion Henderson and what it would have meant to this team if they would have been able to get both of those guys in the building and how different these conversations that we've been having might be. The fact of the matter today is that you've got to work with what you've got. And right now it's clear, particularly with Ozzy and Braxton and Theo Benedict, and now Karan Amagaji's out again. Like, they didn't have the right players here to answer the question that was staring them in the face at left tackle.
Is there any other way to read this? Like, is Ben trying to force Ozzy to realize he's got to step up in practice habits or something like that? Because it's a disaster if you pick a kid in the second round who can't be a left tackle when you already have a right tackle who you took in the first. It's a disaster.
Well, it's... You have to develop him now, right? Like, so now you've come face to face with who he is as a player, and now it's on you as a coaching staff to address that and get the best out of him, whatever position that may be. But if it is a premium asset used on a backup, a swing tackle, then that's a disaster. There's no question. You don't take guys in the second round to be backups. You take them to become building blocks for your football team. And so, you know, the evolution of this offensive line isn't over, I think, is what I would say. And we've kind of got to allow for this season to play out in a certain way and revisit this at the midway point and revisit it as we go into December and then kind of figure out what direction it's all headed.
Dan, were you the guy that asked about, well, maybe Darnell should move to left tackle because Ozzie's clearly a right tackle? I can't remember if that was you or not, but that discussion seemed to be poo-pooed at the time by Ben Johnson, and I wonder if it's something that they would reconsider, although considering the way that Darnell has played right tackle, maybe not.
I don't think it's something they'd reconsider because I don't think they believe that he's got the ideal skill set for that side and to protect the blind side there. They look like there's some things they love about Darnell Wright and the way he gets out in space and the way that they can use him with the athleticism at his size to do things in Ben's offense that are really good. But look, like they hinted in the offseason that they were maybe going to try Darnell on the left side, and then they never did. And then they tried four other guys, and they didn't get the answers they wanted from the four other guys. And it's a position that it becomes under the microscope really fast when you're 0-2. You know, and so yeah, all of these things will become a little bit less stressful if you can just win a few games over these next few games. And they've got some winnable games on the schedule coming up. And so, you know, coaching staff's job is to get guys to take a deep breath, to lock in, to understand that week's plan, and to occasionally get yourself that breath of fresh air that comes with a victory Monday, you know? And so maybe Monday will allow us to turn our lens to, how about those five good things that went right against the Cowboys? And for a week, everybody in the building feels a little bit lighter, and it takes some of the pressure off of the climb that you're trying to make as a team.
God's ears, baby. God's ears. Let's roll. Because Dan, I woke up picturing a crowd booing at Soldier Field as the Bears go 0-3, and Matt Eberflus is grinning with his fist in the air as he runs off the field.
Were you sweating? Were you having heart palpitations when you woke up with that vision?
Because I shook my head and I went back to sleep.
It's a tough vision to have, and it's a realistic vision. And I think that's why it's a little scary here this week, why it's a little edgy here this week. You know, I said earlier this week that this is a classic case of home field disadvantage, right? Mm-hmm. Because your crowd is going to be so damn edgy that if you get in a hole early and your offense, you know, goes three and out for three of its first four drives, like, you guys know, you've been in that building, you know what it's like when it gets like that. The tension is really, really thick, and it's hard to get past. And so, you know, for me, this is an if not now, then when game. And so it's like, you better meet that moment as a team. You better understand what it is. You better understand the ramifications of how different 1-2 are from 0-3. And you better approach every damn snap on Sunday with that type of urgency.
What do you think matters from the incremental progress of Caleb from week one to week two?
From what we saw from week 1 to 2, you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, look, like, I think that there are things that the coaching staff believes are improving in a way where you're like, okay, I can see it. The marriage of the feet and the eyes, you know, the ability to play on time, to understand what that play is designed to do and to get there and to hit some explosive completions by doing so. There were some things in that tape on Sunday that were encouraging. What I say, and you guys have heard me say it before, is eventually the slope of this growth curve has got to start angling upwards. It can't be so damn flat for a number one overall pick. And so they've got to find answers to get that unlocked with what they do, both with the advancement of their offensive scheme and what else they're able to pile in week after week into to that week's game plan, and with the way the quarterback plays. And so, you know, like growth is good, and it's going to get Caleb the pats on the back, but none of us are here for the pats on the back. Everyone is here to see him eventually become the guy that is clearly showing that he's the engine of why this team's going where it needs to go. With that said, I've said it 100 times that the patience level here, my arbitrary timeline is 4 weeks, bye reset, 3 more weeks in October, and then let's get to, you know, week 9 and say, what does this look like? What does this honest progress report of Caleb Williams look like? And at that point, I think that the conversation needs to get more serious, and those who aren't willing to get more serious with it are just a little shaky with what they see.
I think that's fair, and I'm definitely going to try and stay more measured about Caleb in that regard, that kind of time frame. I found week 1 so jarring, and I got very emotional in my reaction to that week 1, because I think I realized, frankly, what it looked like Ben realized, like how far away
Correct.
Things are.
It didn't help that fourth quarter of J.J. McCarthy was staring you in the face, too.
You're absolutely right, Lawrence, but it was also the momentum of feeling that whole game slip away, so that was part of it. But it's the realization, like, I thought they were going to be able to skip some steps, and they're clearly not.
Yep,
and that's I didn't think that was necessarily going to be the case for the number one overall pick with this level of talent, but that is the reality. So now let's deal with what we have, right?
And that's it, right? Like, the breakthrough is not imminent, and it's going to take longer than everyone expected. And so now, how do you acknowledge that reality, and how do you respond to that reality? I think that's coaching 101, right? It's not, you know, being, oh, woe is me, I thought we had something different here. It's, this is what we have, and now it's our job to work with what we have to get the best out of it week after week after week in a way that produces development and produces growth. And that's why you married this very accomplished offensive mind who's a great play caller with a very talented quarterback, because you think that there are results that can be squeezed out of that. And so we're going to give them more than 2 games to get those results, but over time we're also going to be asking for real results with that bar that you guys set earlier in the hit here. That's not coming down. The bar is set high. Clear the damn bar.
Dan, as always, we appreciate you. Thank you for the time.
You got it. Enjoy the weekend, boys.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.